flat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind the Flat, a weekly podcast that brings debate to life's most challenging questions. I'm Chris Heffernan, and as always, I'm joined by my former flatmates and very good friends, Amy Isles.
Good day.
And Tom Crowther.
Hello.
This week's life-changing question is, what's the best mythical creature? But before that, it's time to get in the zone with Chris's Quiz of the Week. So your first question today is, which Bond girl also played Calypso, the mythical sea goddess, in Pirates of the Caribbean?
This is the second time you've done a Pirates of the Caribbean question. You did a Pirates of the Caribbean question in our adventure episode.
I love Pirates of the Caribbean.
I hate Pirates of the Caribbean, and I think I've seen half of one of them. So, Amy, who plays her?
Was there a specific film, did you say? Oh, no. No, I know who it is. I do know who it is. It's Naomi Harris.
Correct. It is Naomi Harris, who plays Moneypenny in the Bond films.
That struck me out of nowhere.
That's great. I have no idea who she is.
Oh, you'd know her. You'd definitely know her.
Number two. What is said to ward off werewolves?
Go away or I will stab you with my sword.
To be honest, I was thinking at first, like, what do you say to werewolves to get them to go away? Like, and then I was like, oh, what thing is said?
Sunrise.
That's true. But isn't it silver bullets? Because in Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit, they use a silver carrot, don't they?
Yeah, but that's not a thing you say. Specifically, the question was, what do you say to werewolves to make them go away?
No, it wasn't. Said to ward off werewolves. Sorry, as in, what do people say wards off werewolves, as opposed to what do you say to ward off werewolves?
Okay, the phrasing of that question could be improved.
To be fair, it threw me at first as well.
Just to keep you on the right track, not to kill werewolves.
Oh.
Ward them off. Amy,
ward them off.
You do know the answer. Or at least you should know the answer.
It's a Harry Potter thing, I think.
It's a Doctor Who thing.
Oh my gosh. Queen Victoria. No, they have a
Queen Victoria.
They've got a diamond thing. Oh my gosh, what is it?
No,
Chris,
bearing
in mind, I was about 8 years old when I watched this episode. I think I've watched it once since.
Carrot. Pass.
I don't. Cabbage. Yeah, let's just go with carrot. I'm spent.
It's mistletoe.
No, I wouldn't have got that in a million years. Sorry, Chris.
In Doctor Who, the wood is lined with mistletoe.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so the wolf
isn't
doesn't
it?
Come in because it can smell the mistletoe.
Oh, no, you've That's thrown dumb. Me there. You've thrown me there.
Number three. Which mythical creature were Odysseus and his crew protecting themselves from when
Sirens.
They tied... I've started the question, so I'll finish.
Oh,
when they
sassy!
And served to the mast of their ship and put beeswax in their ears.
It sirens. Is, in fact, sirens.
I just wanted to get in there before Amy because I knew for a fact that she would know the answer.
I did it at GCSE.
That is correct. Number four. Which mythical creature has the front half of an eagle and the hind of a horse?
A griffin. No, it's not a griffin. What's it? Yeah, no, it is a griffin. I swear it is.
Isn't it the one from Harry Potter where Buckbeak is?
That's a hip. Oh, yeah. No, you
hippogriff.
Could. Yeah, hippogriff. That's the one. Yeah.
We're saying hippogriff, even though Amy was certain it was a griffin?
Oh, now I'm not sure. What is a griffin? I feel like they're very similar. But no, Buckbeak from Harry Potter is definitely eagle and horse. Let's go hippogriff.
It's a hippogriff. A griffin has the back legs of a lion and the front of an eagle.
Oh, yeah. I was close.
So it's objectively better, basically.
And your final question this week is, in what year was the first recorded sighting of the Loch Ness Monster? A, 565. B, 1547. or C, 1872?
I think late, because I think it's a phenomenon because of being able to take pictures.
Yeah, because there's that picture, isn't there, of something coming out of the water, like a little hook thing. Yeah.
I think, at least of what we would know about it, I would go really late because of those pictures. I'm pretty sure you had the ability to take pictures of things in, what was it, 1870?
Yeah. Okay, let's go late then.
So you're saying 1872?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're only just a little bit off. It's 565.
Oh, no.
Cool. Glad. So I like when I come in with answers, I almost always just completely destroy everything. I think there's a rule of thumb for these sections. I just need to listen to what Amy has to say and shut up.
That would be appreciated.
So, it's now time to debate. The motion before the flat today is the dragon is the best mythical creature. This week's caveat is you can't make the creature up yourself. Other than that, the rules are the same as always. No swearing, no taking offence, and of course, no pompous points. Once again, we start with an affirmative statement. This week from me, on the dazzling dragon. A flying, fire-breathing ferocity. The dragon is dangerous and bold, near indestructible, but it is also a companion and a guide to an ancient world. The dragon is the best mythical creature.
Oh my god, you sound like some kind of narrator from a Discovery Channel video.
And that is the beginning of Chris's audiobook, Why I Love Dragons, by Christopher Heffernan.
If I'm honest, I don't really listen to what you had to say. I just listened to the way that you were saying it. I'm sure you said something about fire breathing at some point. So I'm just going to pick up on that point. That's great for everyone but the dragon. They're quite chaotic creatures and they have the ability to, you know, destroy everything. So if you're arguing that the dragon is the best mythical creature from the perspective of the dragon, sure, I'll go for that. If you're arguing it from the perspective of us, no, absolutely not.
Well, I mean, if you have not got the dragon on your side, yeah, bad luck. But if you're best buds with the dragon, you've got nothing to worry about. You've got this friend that's always going to be there to stick up for you and defend you. Can you imagine, okay, someone pins you up against the lockers at school and shakes out all your dinner money, and then you've got a little dragon in your locker that pops out and just singes them into sort of charcoal.
I mean, that's a bit of overkill, isn't it? Surely.
Die, how many situations? Die.
How many situations are you ever in your life where the genuine solution would be, you know, grill the person, literally.
I think we've just got a really good insight into Chris's mind there.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think that they are chaotic, they're destructive. And, I mean, depending on obviously what you look at, they're not particularly loyal to any individual person. They're very kind of selfish. Like, if you look at the one from The Hobbit, obviously...
Yeah, I was thinking of Smaug. Like,
guarding the gold, it's very selfish. Yeah,
I think it's really difficult with dragons because there's so many different they're across so much of literature and storytelling and films and fantasy, and they're so different because, like, the dragons in Harry Potter, they're definitely not human like they are their own creature. They can't speak. But then you get Smaug in The Hobbit, who can speak but is very self-serving. But then you get, like, the dragon in Merlin, who's, like, all wise and knowledgeable. But also, he can't be tamed. He's also very self-serving. Like, it's complicated. Dragons are complicated creatures. And
I'm going to give Amy a point because I do think that, like, the fact that it's such a complicated and contested mythical creature, it's not just, like, you say... You know, a mermaid, everyone knows what a mermaid is. They're basically the same sort of thing. Whereas a dragon, like, some of them are, you know, some of them can breathe fire, some of them can't. you know, some of them are huge, some of them are tiny. Like, there's so much variation with dragons. So what are you actually arguing for?
But you have opened up the glory of the dragon here. Why? How can you say that the dragon isn't great if it is in so many things? Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Great Game of Thrones, Shrek. Okay? There is a dragon in
a comedy
all of
dragon.
These. Okay? The dragon infiltrates everywhere. You do something that's mythical, you're pretty sure at one stage there's going to be an appearance by a dragon. Because everybody loves dragons.
Yeah, that's got to be, yeah, fair point. You've made a positive out of my negative there. I'll give you a point for that, because you're right. Like, they wouldn't be so kind of prolific if they weren't great.
And you talk about this self-serving, nasty dragon, okay? Now, you tell me that you didn't shed a little tear over the dragon in Shrek, okay? That dragon and the dragon and donkey story.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
The batting of the eyelids, and then, don't worry, I've got a lift. Whistle, down comes the dragon. The dragon is the agent to saving the day.
I love that, like, that dragon is so clearly a woman as well. I think that's so I can't believe we're critiquing Shrek here on this podcast. But I love the fact that it's, like, a female dragon, because I think so often they're thought as, like, male and kind of masculine because they're so big and muscly. But kind of twisting that and turning it into a woman. And it's so... If you've ever seen Shrek the Musical, bit niche, but I've been to see Shrek the Musical, and I've got to say, it was a bit sceptical at first, but it was so great. And the woman that plays the dragon is, like, she's got this really kind of powerful, belty voice, and you're just like, yes, go on, I love your
dragon.
Go
dragons!
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is, yeah, they are quite great in a lot of literature as well.
Okay, there is one thing about dragons, though, which is quite famous in mythology, which is that they can be killed by a knight. Now, obviously, you've got the story of George and the dragon, our patron saint. Patron saint?
Patron.
Patron saint.
New word.
But knights aren't that cool. Like, compared to a dragon, knights are pretty naff, but they can kill a dragon just by hitting it with a sword. Like, that seems like a really... That's a naff way to die, isn't it? You just get poked by a sword. So they've got a pretty naff weak spot.
Fine, Tom, I'll give you that. Gosh. There's always some nerd that's gone and read the most obscure medieval text to find that knights kill dragons.
Oh yeah, obscure, yes.
There we are, having a nice conversation about Shrek. My final thing about the dragon is... And it comes back to this idea of variety, is they can be colourful and vibrant in so many different ways. I mean, you look at the dragon in Shrek, this beautiful sort of pinky red, and then in Harry Potter, they have four dragons that are all different colours. There's such a variety in the aesthetic of a dragon. If you think of, often they can be green as quite a normal colour, and I think that gives you so much variety. When painting a dragon, there's so much excitement in the colours and the shades and the different imagery of the dragon, I think, is really strong.
But they
fair play. You get a point for that.
Oh, I was going to say, they always look roughly the same. Like, yeah, pretty colours, but... Oh. Sorry, Chris.
I don't know. In Chris's defence, there's obviously the Chinese dragon as well, which is very different. Yeah. Like, you imagine that, like, in the festival over there, you get that kind of very different looking dragon. I think actually if you look at dragons in, you know, Western, like European dragons, yeah, maybe they do all look the same, but if you kind of branch out around the world, there is that kind of dragon image all over the place, and they all have slightly different variants. So yeah, fair. I think he has a point there.
Fair play. All right, you've convinced me.
Brilliant. So let's now see, Tom, what are you gonna bring to our mythological argument?
So I'm going to stick along the kind of fire route, because I have that in common with you. I think that the fire element to mythology is really strong. I'm going to argue for the phoenix, okay? The phoenix is incredible. They don't die, or rather they do die, but they always come back, and there is only ever one phoenix going. You don't have loads of them terrorizing the place. It's one rare creature, and I think that rarity and that kind of iconic ability to transform itself makes it the best mythical creature.
rarity is a beautiful thing. Okay, as humans, we can appreciate rarity. But think about the phoenix. No friend, no mate, no lover, no child. A life where you're the only one of your kind. Imagine that. Imagine coming into the world and you are it. No one has shared experiences to you. No one knows what life as a phoenix is like. And you have to just battle on all on your own. I think rarity is just something that we humans can appreciate because we're not rare. Okay? But this poor phoenix. Oh. Think about the phoenix, Tom.
Oh, Chris. I think you're saying that rarity is something that only humans appreciate. But equally, you're personifying this phoenix as something that could feel loneliness. Maybe it doesn't biologically like feel loneliness. So you're yourself attributing a human trait to that phoenix, and I think that is where the flaw in that argument lies.
I'm sorry, I feel like I've got to step in as adjudicator here because Chris just made me feel something for a mythical creature. Like, I felt really sorry for the phoenix then. So there's a point to Chris, but I also feel like I have to leap to Tom's defense because. For me, out of all like the creatures in Harry Potter, the phoenix is just the one that I'm like in awe of. I think, yeah, I've got to give you a point as well, Tom, because there's just something about Forks in Harry Potter. That...
Well, yeah, you bring up Forks the Phoenix from Harry Potter, and I think Forks kind of personifies this very particular trait that phoenixes have, and that is the trait of healing. The tears of the phoenix, they heal Harry, and I think. Of all the mythical creatures, there are very few that people kind of hold on to that kind of healing property. Like dragons, they're destructive. And whereas the phoenix kind of comes in and has that ability to save people, and there's that altruism to them. So
yeah.
I think that's a really strong trait going for them as well.
Oh, Tom, I'm going to give you a point there because that is something I think very touching there, the healing. And the music as Forks flies into the chamber.
Oh my gosh.
And then
little
Harry,
points.
It's too late. It's too late. That was me miming tears falling.
Yeah, that's not a great audio description, is it? When you're just winking tears into the microphone.
Technically, Forks was the saviour of that book. Like, without Forks in Chamber of the Secrets, they would all be dead. So, yeah, Forks is... Oh, and it's just so beautiful as well. Like, it's... Oh, yeah. Love Forks.
Okay. Okay, before Amy, like, faints because of Harry Potter, I think we should probably move on slightly.
Okay.
But I think another element to the phoenix is that kind of pop culture reference. Obviously, dragons in and of themselves, they're iconic. They're there in image everywhere. But the phoenix is always used as this kind of metaphor for rejuvenation, revitalization, that whole idea of, and they rose like a phoenix from near defeats and they rose up again and back to strength. And I think that kind of thing that the phoenix embodies is really powerful. And don't you look at me like that.
What sort of popular culture have you been involved in where the phoenix is regularly mentioned? Yes, they say, oh, wait, they rose back up again, but they don't go, rose back up again, like a phoenix. I have very rarely heard anyone say about I have never heard anyone talk about a phoenix.
I'm sorry, Chris, it is a thing. It's definitely, rise like a phoenix is definitely a thing.
You hear people regularly say rise like a phoenix in popular culture.
Like a phoenix from the ashes, definitely.
I know it's a saying. I'm not denying that it's a saying. I'm denying it's sort of spread throughout popular culture.
I'm not saying it's like, oh, it's as common as someone saying hello. I'm just saying that it is.
Well, that's the example you came up with.
I couldn't think of a phrase off the top of my head. I'm kind of unimaginative in that sense, but hello will do. I'll go with that. But I'm not saying it's the most common thing. I'm just saying that it's quite an evocative phrase. It makes you feel things. It like there's a reason why it when you say that people kind of rise up and gain strength again, you use that metaphor. And I think, yeah, that's a really powerful thing that the phoenix has going for it.
Mm. Yeah, I've got to say I feel like I'm the adjudicator between you two in this bit. It's weird. This never
it's
normally
fire
happens.
Fire be fire.
Yeah. But no, I agree with Tom in that, and I think I've got to give him a point for that kind of metaphor of rising from the ashes. I think there's something really beautiful about that, like how after everything's kind of gone and disappeared, you can still come back from something. And I think, yeah, and the phoenix is what has inspired that. So I've got to give a point for that, because I think it is a really beautiful image.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Well, Amy, now it is your chance to rise up like a phoenix.
Oh, gosh.
And tell us, what do you think is the best mythical creature?
Well, you two have both centred your creatures around fire. And I'm now going to quench that fire with my mythical creature that is based around water. So I'm going to go with the siren, like we mentioned in our quiz. And I kind of want to go from a slightly different perspective, because I'm arguing from the perspective of if you were to be this mythical creature. That's kind of how I took this week's topic. And I just think they're really cool. Like, if I had to be a mythical creature, I would go for a siren. Like, just kind of killing? Oh my gosh, well, they do that.
Oh my god, that's got off to a very dark start.
That was such a Freudian slip.
It would be amazing to just sit there in the water, sing, and then murder people. That sounds like a really fun weekend activity.
Oh, it just completely slipped out of my mouth.
You're getting locked up, Amy, after this goes out.
Oh dear. Okay, can we sort that out in the edit, Tom, or...?
No, we're very much leaving your murderous instincts in.
Well, I'm going to try that again, and we'll get onto the killing part later. But, like, chilling is what I meant to say. Chilling. In the ocean, on a nice little island in the Med, maybe, well, they come from Greek origin, Greek mythology, but apparently, from what I've read up on them, it would actually probably be an island near Italy, like near Capri. But how cool is that? Like, just chilling on an island near Capri. If anyone comes near you to try and invade your personal space or try and look at you and think, oh, she's a bit fit, I'll have a bit of that, you can just sing and off they go. They come towards you and then they drown.
And then you murder them.
Well, no, actually, the sirens don't murder them. It's the act of them falling into the water and then they drown. So actually, technically, sirens aren't the killers. They just...
Yes, but if you know that when you sing, the consequence is people dying, I think that's as good as murdering. It's like, you shoot a gun, yeah, technically it's the bullet that kills the person, but you're the one that shot the bloody gun.
Okay, yeah, technically, the sirens are killing the sailors, but I think that's kind of cool as well. Not going to lie. I'm going to put it out there. Like, it's... I think in that kind of... In this kind of world of Greek mythology, these guys are a bit lechy. Like, Odysseus isn't the most loyal bloke. And his wife's at home is. And you know what? Sometimes they get what's coming to them.
Yeah, you have a point, Amy.
Thank you very much.
I think we've got to recognise here, mythology is full of death. If we're going to try and pansy around death, we're not really in mythology, are we? Because that's real life. Mythology has a hell of a lot of death in it, so we're gonna have to just suck it up.
Fair play. Okay, well, one thing with the sirens then is I kind of want to give this point through the DC comic universe. There's always one character that people point to that they say is the naff character that no one ever wants to be, and that is Aquaman. And the reason no one wants to be Aquaman is he can't come onto land. And the sirens, they live in the water. How boring.
They don't, though. They're not mermaids. They live on this little island near Capri. And they live on the rocks. Okay, technically they... I don't know. I don't know if they can actually live on land or not. I think they can because they live on the rocks and on this little island. That was my understanding of Homer's Odyssey. Well, I mean, they feature in stuff. That's the other point I wanted to make about sirens, is that they feature across Greek mythology. It's not just in the Odyssey. They're part of the Argonautica, which is Jason and the Argonauts. They're in that. And actually, I think in the Odyssey, that's when they die, because I think the thing about them is that if someone hears their song... They can only live up until someone, a human, hears their song all the way through. And Odysseus, by attaching himself to the mast and getting his crew to fill his ears with beeswax, he hears it all the way through. So I think they do die after that. But
yeah, so okay, I've got this written down actually, and I wanted to bring that up as a reason, another reason of Naff deaths. Like, just like the dragons could just be pricked by the sword of a knight and they die. Like, sirens, oh no, that person didn't listen to my song, I suppose I'm going to die
but
now.
But then why did no one think of it before? Like, you've got to be clever to overcome the sirens. Like, and Odysseus, fair play to him, clever bloke, strapping himself to a mast. But how many people did they kill before that point? They are quite clever little creatures. They're not just a pretty face. They're talented, they can sing, they're clever because they lure lechy men to their death. And they're okay. Beautiful.
Okay, fair point for that kind of powerful feminine image of the kind of mighty siren.
Thank you. That is the final point I wanted to make about sirens. Like, I know we talked about dragons inspiring beautiful artwork, but I think sirens, just the imagery of kind of like sirens and mermaids, which kind of related to them, I guess, in a way, it goes kind of, I think it goes beyond the medium of like storytelling, and the artwork it inspires throughout history is just beautiful. Like, you get these images of them.
You mentioned mermaids. Aren't mermaids just the better version? The less killy version.
No, mermaids are just a bit boring. When
kids want to be something, and they want to be something from the sea, they don't say, "Oh, I really want to be a siren." They say, "Oh, I really want to be a mermaid," or "Oh, I really want to be a merman," or whatever. Like,
but I think I want to come back to this point, because I think the reason little girls in particular want to be mermaids is because they're pretty. Which is all fine and dandy, but sirens have another element to that. They are talented because they have beautiful voices. And shouldn't we be teaching our children to be more than just pretty?
More than just pretty doesn't need to be murderous. More than just... You can have a powerful mermaid. They don't have to be murderous in order to achieve kind of agency.
I think Amy has got a good point here. The mermaid does rely on its beauty to lure men to their deaths, whereas the siren is relying on a talent that is outside of beauty. So, I'll give you a point there, Amy.
Thank you very much. Feminism. That's why I like sirens. This has just been very cathartic for me, I feel.
There has been a lot of death.
Well, I think that brings us to a very nice conclusion. So, it is time to look at the scores on the door this week. It's a close one. We have, on 3 points, Amy and the siren, and me and the dragon.
Ooh, little draw in second
so
place.
The winner on 4 points is Tom and the Phoenix.
Hey.
Congratulations. I'll concede to that. Phoenix is a cool.
So, life triumphs over death.
Oh,
there
lovely.
We have it.
How poetic.
The phoenix is the best mythical creature. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to get in contact with us or tell your friends all about us, then you can either through
our social media. On Facebook, we're Mind the Flat Podcast. On Instagram, we're mindtheflat_podcast. And on Twitter, we're @mindtheflat_pod.
Or you can email us at mindtheflatpodcast@gmail.com.
Or visit our website, mindtheflatpodcast.com, where we've got all our episodes from this series and series one. And we'll be back again next week with more debate on another of life's most challenging questions. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios.